You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome all of you wherever you may be on this wonderful day. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. Pastor Don and I, we co-pastor a church here in Stewart that we have for 21 years. And we thank God for that. And He gave us a name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10, where it says over there, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy." So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour, and we're honored to be here with you. And we'll have a little fireside chat maybe again today. It's a little cooler out here today than it has been. So stay tuned in if you can. We're honored to be here with you. We got a few announcements to make that we'll do here before we start doing some teaching here today. But my throat's a little scratchy here today, so kind of bear with me. I had to put something in a little lozenge in my mouth so I could talk a little better and all, but we'll make it. Hallelujah. And so we're just honored to be here with you, as we said. So we're on every Saturday from 12 noon, and we've been on this radio program now for 16 plus years. And it's been a real privilege and an honor to have this time with you each Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And so enjoy what you hear, not because of Don and I, but we're going to give you some things from the scriptures that would encourage you and strengthen you in this day and this hour, because we really need it with all that's going on in our country and the struggles that seem to be in so many people's lives at this time. We see it in the churches. Everybody's got something going on. But God is greater. Amen.
God is greater.
We cast all of our care upon Him because He cares about us. And because He was victorious, our Lord Jesus, Yeshua, on the earth, well, then we also can be victorious as we walk with Him.
Amen.
So we're honored to be here with you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour from beginning to end. We've called this program for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. And you heard our intro. We do a lot of things with the Jewish things and the Hebrewism and all that. But to give us clarity and understanding what God's been trying to tell us all these years. We've had this book for hundreds of years. And for us to get into the deeper things of God. And that's what we're here for. We want to raise the standard. We see the standard kind of going down, don't we, Pastor Don? From time to time it does. And so we see it going down. And we want it to turn around and go back up. That people will live holy lives like Jesus told us to do. So if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And we got all the things that we talked here a couple weeks ago about all the false teachings that are going on. And in the church arena today, it's just it's incredible things that people believe. Let's just stick with the Word of God and do and say and live the way He told us to live in this book. And so we preach and teach out of the King James Version Bible. So if you don't have one of those, you may not follow along completely with what we're saying, because a lot of those Bibles have things left out and all that. But we're going to use the King James Version. So before we start here, Pastor Donna's got a couple of announcements she wants to make here about our services and what we're doing here for the Lord. And we're honored to be in the ministry and to accomplish what He wants with our lives and to touch people's lives. Amen, Pastor Donna?
Amen. Yes, amen. Praise God. I just want to say hello and bless you all. And it's a blessing to be on WCNO every Saturday at 12 noon. And you can also catch us on the internet.
Amen.
Amen. At 12 o'clock noon. And also you can go back and podcast and listen to past shows. Just look on Saturdays for Raising the Standard. And there are lots of different shows you can go back, programs you can go back and listen to, which is a double blessing. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. And we have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. And we also have church, not all day, but I'd say a good part of the day. And then we also have fellowship meal afterwards. So if you want to come and visit us, just plan on spending the day. You know, it's the Lord's Day. And so we do spend the day with the Lord that day. And it is a blessing. And many people are blessed by it. Amen. And the fellowship is always good. You know, it's good to have fellowship one with another and be able to spend time and not just run in and run out of a church and not get to know people. We need to get to know people.
That's right.
And
it's
know
supposed
those.
To be family.
That's right. It's church is a family, right? It's family of God. And then also we have Friday Shabbat at 7 p.m. So that's on 77 o'clock in the evening. And so we have communion that day and we spend time seeking the presence of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And, right. Pastor Gene usually does a little teaching that night. Not too long, but then we spend time in God's presence, seeking God's presence, amen, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. You know, the Bible says to worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That's
and
right.
So we are fulfilling that call and seeking to and pressing into seeking that call that the Lord gave us way back. How many years ago, Pastor Gene?
21 years ago.
Going on. We're in the 22nd
That's
year.
That's right. We're moving on.
And so, hallelujah. It says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that's the name the Lord gave us for the church, spirit of prophecy. And so we do want to worship God in spirit and in truth, the Bible says. And then on Saturday, we also have classes on Saturday. We have Bible study. And today we have Bible study at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we're teaching on the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
Amen.
Well, so we're going to finish up. We're going to review what we
baptism
talked
about.
Baptism
of the Holy Ghost.
And then this Sunday we'll begin the next series or the next lesson on the actual baptism of the Holy
the
Ghost.
Baptism
the evidence
of, the Holy
of speaking
Ghost.
In tongues.
There are many different baptisms.
Sure are. There's several
and
of them.
And so we are teaching on that. So if you'd like to know more about that, we all need to know. And we need to learn and be
sure
taught. So that's at 4 o'clock. And also today the dance class starts back up again. And that's at 2 o'clock, and so 2 or 2:15. I think it's 2:30.
Yeah.
But anyways, the dance class is starting back up again today. And so if you're interested in worship, and just give us a call. We'll give you more information about that dance class. And we also have, they do Jewish dance and different types of things, different things to worship with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are many different ways to worship the Lord. And so we also want to mention that Purim will be coming up. And so we'll have a special celebration
right?
on
mm-hmm.
Purim, and we'll be teaching on that. And Pastor Gene may touch a bit on it today, but we'll be teaching on that during the next few weeks. And so Purim is a very important time. It's not one of the appointed times of the feast, but God used it to rescue and save the Jewish people's lives, and just like he has down through many years.
It's like at Hanukkah,
down through
same
time.
Thing, yeah.
And so it is to be taught and to be, you know, it's a celebration time. It's a joyful time.
That's right.
When you have victory, it's a joyful time. And so I just want to mention the date in case you'd like to call, because you do need to reserve it. We only have so much space, and it will be a meal. It'll be a program. And I'll tell you the date. It's going to be March the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
That's on a Saturday.
Thank you, Lord.
And so that's at 5 p.m. on a Saturday. And so if you're interested in that, give us a call. We'd be glad to send you out a flyer or let you know. But we do need to have our reservations for that night. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to say hello to all you out there in Radio Land and also on the computer that have been listening to us. And some of you, I know, are in cold weather, like Daryl
That's
and
right.
Judy up there in the North.
Carolinas.
Yes, and others that have been snowed in for two or 3 days. Well, hallelujah. It's a good time to get to know each other a little bit better.
That's
I
right.
see some of you out there shoveling snow in the, boy, it's pretty cold up there, honey. And deep sure snow. It takes one. It takes you 3 hours to shovel snow. That's a long time.
They're kind of locked in for 3 days.
Locked in for
about 3 days.
3 days. And so, but it's kind of cool. Been kind of cool here too, and that's been nice. A nice blessing. And so we enjoy the chilly. But I don't know if I'd want to be in 28 or 21 or 31, you know, cold. But anyways, we
were up there 1 year on vacation when it was like that.
We're praying for you guys up north that you keep nice and warm and you have plenty of food and fire in your fireplace and, you know, all those things that you need to stay comfortable.
That's right.
Amen. We also want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey. Now, I don't think they're going to see any snow down there.
I doubt that in the Bahamas.
In the Bahamas. But we just bless them as well. And so, and you know, the house, the Temple of God on Andros Island. And somebody asked me the other day, well, are part of the walls going up yet?
That's right.
I said, well, I don't know. I didn't ask them last time we talked. But we are believing that the walls, send us a picture, post it on Facebook. I want to see that wall start to come up. Amen. Raise the wall. Praise God.
Amen.
Just like we were raising the standard. This radio podcast is called Raising the Standard. Someone can give a telephone number. You can call us if you'd like a calendar of for this month, and the calendar also has all the Jewish dates on it, and so you can begin to learn what the month it is. This is Adar 1. This year we have 2 months of Adar,
right?
And maybe Pastor Gene will share on that too. We know that Jewish calendar is different than ours, and so you'll be able to see the different days and what's going on a Jewish calendar as well as our calendar. So the phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. And I'll repeat that. It's area code 772-285-7007. And WCNO, you can go just to WCNO.com on your computer or your smartphone, and you can listen to this radio broadcast as well. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
That's right. Well, being as I was talking about that calendar, we might mention this. I think we mentioned it last week, but somebody's listening today. I know that maybe he's never listened to the program before.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you've listened, but you haven't been there when we talked about it. The Jewish people add an extra month to their year 7 times every 19 years. It's almost like every 3 years to keep the season in the right time of the year.
That's right.
Because of the lunar calendar. Well, that probably all came about because back in Joshua's day about the sun and what happened back in that day. And so if we didn't, well, then the seasons would float around. We wouldn't, you know, like at Passover in the spring, wouldn't be at spring. Eventually, after several years, it'd be in the fall. So that's why they do that. And so this is a year they add Adar 2 to the calendar to keep it in conjunction with the seasons of the year because God wants the seasons to remain for his appointed times.
Amen.
Well, we're honored to be here with you today. And I read some things this week. I've kind of had the Jews on my heart a lot this week and what's going on with Israel and thinking about what happened with them and how this has all transpired. And if we read the Bible and study the Bible, we find out because of all the problems they're having today is because of their disobedience to God and not obeying his word. Way back, it's even talked about in Deuteronomy and all that. He said, I set before you today life and death, and you choose. And they've chose the wrong thing. And so here they are. They're scattered all over the world, but they're coming back slowly, and God promised that they would come back. I'd like to talk about some things about Israel. And they had a quest. They have had a quest for years and years and years to get back into their promised land, and they were out of it for so many years. And I was going to read a few scriptures here as we start. And let's just think about this with Israel. I'm going to go to Jeremiah chapter 3 with you, and let's look and see what God has promised the nation of Israel. And he wanted them but way back then to return, but they didn't return to him the right way. So they went into captivity. The northern tribes, you know, were taken over. And then a few years later, Judah and Benjamin had the same thing happen to them. So let's look at some scripture here, Pastor Don, in Jeremiah chapter 3. Bear with me. I got a little lozenge in my mouth. My throat's a little bit scratchy here today, but I'm going to make it through. And so I want to read some scriptures with you in chapter 3. Where do I want to go here?
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to start in verse 6 with you about Israel of Jeremiah 3:6. The Lord said also unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. I said, after And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister, Judah, even saw. She saw it. Now listen to that. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed an adultery. Now remember, Israel's the northern 10 tribes. And I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister, Judah, feared not, but went and played the harlot also. About 100 years later. Isn't that incredible?
You'd think that they would learn from the experience of the other, and, you know, they
That's
would
right.
repent.
And return.
But,
yeah.
But
they didn't.
She didn't, and isn't that how it is today, many times?
That's right.
It reminds me of generational curses, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You see what's happened to maybe a family member or a friend, and
That's right.
And many times in a family, you'll see the same sin committed generation after generation. Well, they haven't been delivered.
See, that's right.
See, God wants to deliver his people. He mm-hmm. wanted to deliver his people way back here in Jeremiah, and actually even way before that, because sin has been rampant all down through the Bible. You can see, you know, we'd have one good king, one bad king, you know.
Over and over.
Over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes way back. And so, mm-hmm. you know, here we have backsliding, you know, the backslider. Even in the New Testament or the Renewed Testament, mm-hmm. it talks about backsliding. You know, what's backsliding? You once knew what was right, but you chose to go the wrong way. You chose to turn your head on going the right direction, going following God, and going the way of the Lord and the way that He has told us to go. And you just backslide. It means you're turning around. You're going backwards. You're walking away from the Lord. And the more and more you walk away from the Lord, the more and more suffering you're going to have in your life, and you know it's going to be judged at
That's right.
some time.
Mm-hmm.
So here they are called backsliding Israel.
That's what they were doing. Now let's go on over in this chapter here, and if you look at verse 12, he told the prophet Jeremiah, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return." So God's asking them to return. Well, they eventually did, but look what happened. The captivity with the northern tribes, and also the 70 years with the southern tribes. What happened with them? Now I want to start here in verse 14. In the same chapter.
Well, here. Let me go ahead and finish reading
okay.
12.
Go ahead.
He says, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north mm-hmm. and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, mm-hmm. saith the Lord." See, God's always there to want you to turn back. "And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
God's promise is there. "Only acknowledge thy iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice." That's
so
what
they were
God
worshiping
wants,
idols at the end of the trees.
Yeah. His voice.
That's right.
Saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. They were committing their adulteries. 14, "Turn, O backsliding children,
this
saith
is the, key
the
verse.
Lord,
yeah.
for I am married unto you." God says, he declares. That's a declaration.
That's right.
You know, there's things that we need to declare in our life.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion."
So this is the key thing we want to talk about today.
He's
about the establishment of Zion again. That's right.
That's right. And that's happening now. How
that's
many
right.
people have been... that are going back to Israel. He's taking back to Israel, and there's going to be more and more and more. And there are a lot of ministries that are helping.
That's right.
And we try to help to return, because God lays it on their hearts, and some of them will return. Some of them aren't going to return. Some of them are still stiff-necked and are happy and satisfied here in America or wherever they might be.
Mm-hmm.
He says he wants to. He says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart." So he wants them to return
That's right.
to Zion. He says, "I'm going to give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And
That's
it
right.
shall come to pass when ye be multiplied," God wants to multiply them, "and increased in the land." What land?
The land of Israel.
The land of Israel.
In those days, in the future, yes.
In those days. And these are the days right
That's
now.
Right.
These are the days. We sing a song called "These Are the Days."
Saith the Lord.
Saith right? the Lord, mm-hmm. "They shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore.
Got so many people searching for the ark. It says right here, they don't have to remember it anymore. Yeah. God doesn't live in the ark.
People are still searching for ark, you know.
He lives in us, the believers. Hallelujah.
That's right. Praise God.
And then verse 17 says, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
To Jerusalem.
Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. They're going to be joined together.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the land of the north,
thank
to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. Those days are coming right now. So there's been a move for hundreds of years for Israel. You know, they didn't move back into their land until 1948. But there was people before that. And I read an interesting article this week by J.R. Church before he passed away about a quest for a promised land. He mentioned several men I'd never heard of, but you could look it up. He mentioned one name. His name was Francis Kett. And this was in 1589, Pastor.
Well, you know, Pastor Gene, down through time, people read the Word. Godly people, there's always been a remnant. There's always been godly people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they've read the Word, and they've declared what God said. How many people over the hundreds of years since Jesus, you know, died and rose from the grave? How many Jews even before that have read these scriptures right here in Jeremiah, and they have believed? See, they believed in their heart. Mm-hmm. They didn't have that wicked and backsliding heart. They believed in their heart, and they declared and they spoke. And the promises of God, because God's promises are yea and amen. That means they're going to come to pass. And so there have been people, just like we should declare, we should read the Word of God, and we should declare what God says over
over
our family,
hallelujah,
over situations, you know. And we have to not just declare it, but we have to believe it in our heart.
Amen.
So these things that God has said, people have believed, and so maybe it wasn't for them, but it was for their children or their grandchildren or their great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren down through time. They knew that there would be someone in their line that would return to Israel.
That's right.
Because that's promised land. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even Israel, that land is going to totally be theirs.
That's right.
Right now, it's just a small piece and a very expensive, I'd say, precious land, you know, it's like the jewel of the earth. And so, and why do you think so many people, other people, want that piece of property?
That's right.
Other people, it's like the most valuable piece of property in the world.
But it belongs to God, doesn't it?
But people don't, some people don't believe that.
That's
you know,
right.
But if you read what God says, you'll believe it. You'll begin to believe it if you read God's word.
That's right.
How precious that is. And he said he was married to them.
That's right. That's right.
So these people that you're going to mention here are some people that have been long gone for
a long
time.
Yeah, they're long gone, but the thing is, there was always a thought. It started around 1525, a long thought about the Jews coming back to their state. And during this time, it was barren. You know, we talk about the famous writer that we talk, Mark Twain. He was there in the late 1880s, you know, and looked at the land. He says, how can anything ever come out of this? But the Bible says it's going to come. And I'm reminded, I read a book that a dear sister gave me. I got it up here on my bookshelf. It's called The Prince and the Prophet. And a man by the name of Herzl was also involved later on. A Jewish man with a Christian to establish and get in place, to reestablish Zion the way God wanted to be. But there's a few people here in this article that I read. And some of them I've never heard of, but a couple of them I have. This first man, his name was Francis Kett, K-E-T-T. Listen to this. In 1589, this man, he was from England, expounded upon a theory of regathering Israel into their land, but was not well received. He was declared a heretic, listen to that, and burned at the stake. However, the ideas did not die with him. Other people in his time, and also the Puritans, began to speak and write about what? The restoration of the nation of Israel again. So there's a lot of them. One that caught my eye here was a man by the name of Manasseh ben Israel. Listen to this. The most significant Jewish leader in the 1600s now was Manasseh ben Israel, rabbi of Amsterdam. His book, The Hope of Israel, linked the Messiahism of the British Puritans with the Messianism of the Jews. He accepted the Puritan nation her notion, I should say, the Puritan notion that the American Indians were the 10 lost tribes. His studies in the book of Daniel, coupled with a prophecy from Deuteronomy that the Jews would be scattered from one end of the earth to the other, and we know it happened, convinced him that those Indians must be the long lost Jews. Furthermore, he felt that England should readmit Jews within its borders. He worked together with British Christians to bring this about. Messiah ben Israel, or Manasseh ben Israel, I should say, believed in the regathering of the chosen people, but gathered little support among the Jews in the 17th and 18th century. So we see all these famous men that the Jews understand, they know about these men, that were involved with restoring Israel to that time. Now I mentioned Herzl, Theodor Herzl. This is about him. Now I read this book, The Prince and the Prophet, to help establish Zionism. Of course, he died before it happened, but he was instrumental in it. The name of Theodor Herzl, says, will be forever inscribed in history as the father of modern Zionism. A citizen of Austria-Hungary, he conducted the first World Zionist Congress in Switzerland in 1897 and declared afterward what appears to be a prophetic statement. At Basel, where it happened, where the city where they were at, I founded the Jewish state, he said. If I said this out loud today, I would be greeted by universal laughter. In 5 years, perhaps, and certainly in 50 years, everyone will perceive it. This is what I'm going to read this again. He said, I was the one that founded the Jewish state. If I said this out loud today, back in his day, I would be greeted by universal laughter. In 5 years, perhaps, and certainly in 50 years, everyone will perceive it. Exactly 50 years later, on November 29th, listen to this, 1947, the United Nations voted to establish a Jewish state. Now, I hate this term. You know, Israel is not a state. Israel is a nation. And they're calling it a state because of the Palestinian influence, because they want to establish a state within the nation of Israel. But Israel is a country, a nation. They voted to establish, I'm going to call it, a Jewish nation in Palestine. Though it was not intended as a prophecy, the dream of Theodor Herzl did come to pass. Isn't that incredible to think about? So we have all these scriptures here. And we, you know, God told them they were going to have to go through birth pains because of their disobedience. We're in Jeremiah, Pastor Don. Let's go over to chapter 16. Let's go over and read a couple more scriptures here. He promised them and told them if they disobeyed that they were going to go into captivity and they were going to have a problem. Amen? I'm going to start in verse 14. Listen to this. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. This is incredible. Those two verses are so key. And so the birth pangs are there, and we know that they've been going through it, and all the problems that they have today and all down history has come because of what? Because of their disobedience to the Lord and what he wanted them to do. But God's made some great promises to Israel, what he's going to accomplish with them. And we just have to believe it's going to all come to pass. And we know that his word is true. And it will come to pass. Amen. And so we think about Israel. You know, I think about the growth of Israel today and all this. You know, the rebirth of the nation of Israel was a miracle. Think of it. It's a miracle that they're back in their land and more are coming. But that's not all. The growth of that tiny new nation was also a miracle. In 1948, there were only 640,000 Jews living in the land. Over the following 10 years, however, they tripled their population with new immigrants, most of them refugees. They housed them, clothed them, and fed them. They taught them the Hebrew language, trained them, and placed them in jobs. At the same time, Israel built up its military to defend against the Arabs, who vastly outnumbered them in both population and also in the occupied land area there as well. So it's incredible. And I think about all these birth pangs that happens to Israel, you know that, and how they disobeyed God and just brought all this upon themselves. But, you know, God is greater than their mistakes, and we know that in our own lives, that if we fail, God will always bring us back to that place if we're willing to repent and turn around and come back. We just read that. He said to return. That's the word teshuva. He wants them to teshuva, to turn around and come back to him. And we see that things are happening really fast in Israel right now as the years go by. And we have to keep them in prayer. And my heart goes out because right now they're on the verge of having war. And we have to remember that. And I'm reminded also about General Edmund Allenby that we've talked about several times on this program, what happened in his day. And it was in 1917, that British general of England, you know, he liberated Jerusalem and conquered the land of Palestine. carrying out what the Balfour Declaration, but we know later on in England what they reneged on that. And you know, there was a statement years ago about England, the sun didn't light on the English Empire because they had all these colonies all around the world. But after they reneged on this declaration that was made for Israel to return and all that, they slowly began to lose all those colonies, and they have very few today that they're involved with. And that declaration stated, His Majesty's government views with favor, listen to this, the establishment in Palestine of a national homeland for the Jewish people. That declaration, issued on November 2, 1917, did not create a Jewish state, but prepared the way for events which led to the establishment of the nation in 1948. I want you to notice here, General Allenby was a Christian, hallelujah. William Heckler was a Christian, and the British Restoration Movement was a Christian movement as well. With the development of the printing press and this translation of the Bible into English, Protestant Christianity slowly began to return to a belief in the literal interpretation of the Bible and the eventual establishment of the Jewish state, hallelujah. The regathering of Israel is a Jewish movement, but has been encouraged and aided along the way by Bible-believing Christians down through the centuries. It's incredible to think about it. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, I even think about during the, when they had the bubonic plague in Europe and all that, you know, they, a lot of those nations blamed the Jews on that, but you know, they found out there's something about the Jews. They washed their hands before they ate. They had real good hygiene. They did the right things. And so a lot of those never caught that disease and didn't die. And so that's why they blamed it on the Jews, you know. But the Jews knew some things from the Word of God that God talked about with dietary things and all that. And so many of them survived that and didn't die. And so we have an incredible thought when we go through all the whole thing about what happened with them. So we have to keep them in prayer. And my heart's just going out to them as I prayed for them again this week. And, you know, just to see what God's wanting to do with His people on that day. But, you know, Israel's stake, really today, their survival's at stake today. And we have to stand with them because we know all those nations around them over there would like to take them off their land, destroy them, get rid of them, you know. And we, you know, we're called, America's called the big Satan and they're called the little Satan. But God's with them. And the very fact, I believe this, that Israel still survives after all these years is a miracle without equal. And we know that. I've said this before many times teaching. If I could pick one word out of the Bible that proves that God's word is truly true, I would say just pick the word Israel, the nation of Israel. They're still here after all these years. And they, look at all the kingdoms that were conquered. They're gone. Nothing there. But Israel will survive because Israel is God's country. And we have to understand the key to all this, to understanding this, is a great thought and belief and a phenomenon that God has put in His prophecies and the Word of God as we look at those. And the regathering of Israel is really the central theme of biblical prophecy. Look at them. This is all about Israel. What's Jacob's trouble all about? It's not the church's trouble. It's for Israel. We've got to remember that. So we think about the 2,500-year-old prophecies that we read some of them right now today are coming to pass before the very eyes. Hallelujah. And we know that Isaiah even talked about it. I'm just reminded by this, Pastor. Now, I'm going to go over to Isaiah, back up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. This is an incredible chapter, and I love it. Hallelujah. The key verse is verse 8, but I'm going to back up here and just share a couple things. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to start in verse 5 of chapter 66 of the book of Isaiah. Hear the word of the Lord. We should say that today too, right, Pastor Dunn? Hear the word of the Lord. Ye that tremble at His word. That means all of us, all that tremble at His word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified, but He shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Who are these? Your brethren that hated you. Who's that? The Muslims. Amen. The Islamic, they're the ones that hate them today. Verse 6, a voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that renders what? Recompense to His enemies. Now listen to this. Before she travailed, talking about Israel, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before she travailed, before she had birth pangs, right? How can you bring forth before you travail, right? With a woman with a baby. So it says right here, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. So this is referring to who? To Yeshua. It's a prophetic thing about hundreds and hundreds of years before it came. So before she travailed, Israel, she brought forth. Amen? Before her pain came, she delivered what? Of a man-child. And this was Yeshua that came. Now look at verse 8. This is the key verse. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? And the answer to that is what? Is yes. Or shall a nation See, it's singular. It's talking about Israel. Be born at once. The answer to that is what? Is yes.
Yes.
For as soon as Zion travailed, okay, she brought forth what? Her children. Isn't that incredible?
Her children.
Her children. Her offspring, in other words.
Children.
These are two very... I'm going to read these two verses again.
These are God's children.
That's right. Before she... Yeah, before she... She's talking about Israel, related also with Yeshua. Before she travailed, it's talking about... The travailing was what? Jacob's trouble. Well, there was a man-child that came. His name was what? Yeshua. Long before the tribulation will come, or Jacob's trouble. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Hallelujah. And he's the answer today. They just look to him. And then verse 8. Who hath heard such a thing, God says? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? And we know the answer is yes, because God can do it. Or shall a nation, Israel, be born at once? The answer is yes. And as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth what? Her children, and in other words, her offspring came. It's incredible when we think about all that. Amen? Glory be to God. Glory.
Praise God.
Now I want to go and read.
And I like what else, you know, what else God says. He says, shall I bring
to birth?
To
yeah.
You the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord.
That's right. He'll
Hallelujah.
Do it.
He will do what he says.
That's right.
Thank you, Father
God. He says, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you that mourn for her, that you may suck. And be satisfied with the breast of her consolation, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory.
Because so, why? We're joined.
We're joined,
we're joined
with
her. To her.
We're grafted
we're joined,
in with
her. We're
them.
Grafted in.
That's right.
And we're commanded to pray.
That's right.
For the peace of Jerusalem.
So we
rejoice
come against,
ye with Jerusalem.
Right. So we come against anti-Semitism and replacement theology and all this that we hear today.
Many, so many are against Israel and Jerusalem, so we're commanded to pray for her. Mm-hmm. Pray for Jerusalem.
That's
pray
right.
for the Jewish people. Pray for their return. We are joined to them. It talks about that being joined. We're joined to them, just as Judah and Israel were joined. They're joined. So are we as joined to the Jew. We are
That's
joined.
Right. Let's read the rest of this chapter, Pastor. This is incredible. This is the end of Isaiah. You know, it's got 66 chapters. We have
mm-hmm.
66 books in the Bible. And if you read this real close, each one of these chapters represents one of the books in the Bible. It's a miniature Bible, this
That's
entire
right.
Isaiah. Verse 12 says this, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her too, to Jerusalem, like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be home upon,
ye shall be born,
I should say, upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees like a little baby, amen. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted. Where? In Jerusalem, their city. It's nobody else's city. It belongs to the Jewish people. God gave it to them. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. Here, look at these next two verses. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots, like a whirlwind,
yes,
to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. Didn't say some, he says all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. So that day's going to come when he's going to come back. And he's
the
pleading.
Day of the Lord's going
to
come.
Right. He's pleading with everyone right now to come to his son, the Messiah. Verse 17. They that sanctify themselves, hear this, and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh. Listen to this. And the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Huh. Listen to that. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves, how in their own mind, I guess, in the gardens behind one tree, you know, where they worshiped all these idols, in the midst, eating what? Swine's flesh. And the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 18. For I know their works and their thoughts. These are all the Gentiles. For I know their works and their thoughts, and shall come, that I will gather all nations. Now, this is a plural for the Gentile nations. And tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them. The them here is the Gentiles. And I will send those here are Israel, that escape of them into the nations, to Tarshish, Pool, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they, these are the Jews, shall declare my glory, how? Among the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And that happened in the future. You know, the Jews were told over and over that they were going to be doing this, but they got another call here coming in. Let's hang that up for right now. They shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren, these are the Jews, for an offering unto the Lord out of all the nations, all the Gentile nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain. What's that? Mount Moriah. Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. One day they're going to honor what the Jewish people's done. Hallelujah. I'm reminded what Jesus said. He said, salvation is of the Jews. Amen. Verse 21, and I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name, what? Remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Incredible, huh?
Glory
what's going
to
happen to those that turn from God. So we got to keep Israel in prayer. They're just an incredible nation. My heart's been out this week with thinking about Benjamin Netanyahu and the pressures that's on him and all
yes,
that.
Yes, Lord.
But God has so much to say about the nation of Israel. And so,
you know, this is just an example of many examples that God doesn't change.
That's right. He never changes.
He is God and he changes not.
That's right.
You know, and it says here, and it shall come to pass. This is, you know, things are still coming to pass.
That's right.
It's not finished. Things are still coming to pass. God doesn't change. He says that from one new moon.
Hallelujah.
One new moon to another.
Hallelujah.
And you know, the Jewish calendar runs from new moon to new moon, right?
That's right.
New moon to a new moon, and from one Sabbath to another. And God hasn't forgotten the Sabbath.
Sure hasn't.
He?
Nope.
Shall all flesh come to worship before me? Well, that is quite clear what that says and what that means. God doesn't change his calendar. Men change calendars. And men try to manipulate God's word, but God's word does not change. And
that's
he
right.
means what he says.
Absolutely.
You know,
he sure
he's
did.
The one who created the stars and the moon and the sun and the earth and all these things. And they have a certain rotation that won't change because that's how they were created to be that way.
That's
you
right.
And so God, even here, when we bless Israel, we are... Like you said, we're drawing sap from that same river.
That's right. Same tree, yes.
The same tree, the same river. The river of God is full. It says the Gentile, and here the Jewish people here. They're being sent to all these places that have never heard of Israel or of God. You mentioned a bunch of them up there in the top.
That's right.
Lude and Pul and Tarshish and
all
these
places.
All
those nations, yeah.
And Jarvan, and so he's to the islands. You know, places where people don't know.
That's
well,
right.
He uses the Jewish people as well, doesn't he?
That's right.
To evangelize, to talk about God, to talk about the Lord who created all things. So we need to hear the word of the Lord. It says in verse 5, hear the word of the Lord.
That's right.
That ye tremble at his word.
At his word.
Tremble at his word.
Because what it says, or what he said, he meant, and he's going to carry it out. And it's true for Israel and anything else that he wants to do. He's got in his word. Whatever he said, it will happen. Amen? It's incredible
right.
to think about all of it.
Thank you, Lord.
I went over here to Hosea. I was thinking about something in Hosea chapter 12, talking about Ephraim. And we know the Ephraim is another word for the northern tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And Judah's in the southern tribes. Verse 1 says, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians. They thought the Assyrians were going to save them. And oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, the southern tribe, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings. Will he recompense him? And it says this is Jacob, took his brother, who was his brother? Esau, by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in a city called what? Bethel. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore turn. Here's our word turn for Israel. Turn thou to thy God and keep mercy and judgment and wait on the God, on thy God continually. So they have to turn to thy God. Well, God has given them a Savior, a Redeemer. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. This is who they have to turn to. And if they do, then he's going to give them what? Mercy and all that. And they'll move on with the Lord. It's incredible. And we see all the prophets, how God promised about Israel at the end of all these, what he was going to do with them. I like chapter 14 of Hosea as it closes out. O Israel, he says, return unto the Lord thy God. We're talking about the northern tribes here, years and years ago. For thou hast what? Fallen by thy what? Thy iniquity. Take with you words and turn to Shuvah to the Lord. I say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive as graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips and so on. Verse 4 now says, I will heal their backsliding. Listen to this. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow up as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. The olive tree is always a picture, a pattern, what? Of Israel.
On the oil, the anointing.
That's right, in the oil. They that dwell under the shadow shall return. Listen to this.
Shall return.
They're under the shadow, what? These trees where they worship false idols. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him. I observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are what? Are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors, what? Shall fall therein. So here we have the whole thing about Israel. And we know they failed God. They were disobedient. They could have had life instead of death. And they went through all these troubles. But the promise is over and over again that God is going to restore them. And so way back in 1525 when it started, the men came along that were knew the Bible talked about the restoration of Israel. But we still got people today in the church teaching that God is done with Israel. That the church now has all the blessings that God gave to Israel. That we've replaced him. That's a lie. That's not true. I can't comprehend this replacement theology thought at all. And so it's about Israel. And so God's wooing them today to come. And they're having all their problems because of this, we know. But God's raising up men in Israel that's going to help bring this to pass in a greater way. And we know that Zionism has been established. And we know they're looking to have that temple rebuilt on Mount Moriah and all that for Jacob's trouble to come. But I thank you that God's, I thank you, Lord, that you're working on Israel's behalf to accomplish this. And so I thank you for all these men, like Theodore Herzl and all these men down through time that has pursued after restoring the nation of Israel. And we give you praise. And I'm reminded again, Pastor Donald, about General Allenby when he took Jerusalem back. And remember, he got off his horse outside the city. And he walked in on foot, and they asked him, why are you riding on your horse? You conquered this place. He said, I'm not worthy. The only one's worthy to ride a horse into this city is my Messiah, Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so God has got to work.
He knew the truth. How many years ago was that?
Oh, 1917, right after the Balfour Declaration was put in place and all that. And so it's incredible. And by the way, we found out, what was it? He walked into Jerusalem. I think I remember it was on Hanukkah, wasn't it? I think it was on Hanukkah that year. And so we have some wonderful things to look at in history, and God is wooing all the Jewish people, not only in Israel, but all over the world, to come to his Messiah. They had a visitation. He came for them, and so many of them have rejected him. No wonder, because look at all the things that's been perpetrated against the Jews down through time, starting in 1525 and even before that, of people coming against the Jewish people. Just think about it. The Christians came against them with the Crusades and all that. There were so many things that happened. And no wonder they think about Jesus. It's like almost like a cuss word to them. But his name is Yeshua, and he's not a cuss word. But it's because of how they've been treated. And we think about when in 1492, when Queen Isabel expelled them all from Spain, and they wouldn't convert to Catholicism. They put them on ships and sent them out to sea, and they kept them out there till they died. They starved to death. These are the kind of things that have been perpetrated upon them. And so, they had so many problems. But God told them back in Deuteronomy, if they wouldn't obey him, what was going to happen? They would be scattered all over the world. They were going to go through terrible times, and that's exactly what happened. Later on, what happened? We know that the northern tribes got in trouble with the Assyrians, and then 100 years later, the southern tribes, Jacob and Benjamin, what happened there? Or I should say Judah and Benjamin, there in the southern tribes, what happened? They should have learned from what happened with the northern tribes. And so what happened? God used, He called the Babylonians his servant. He used them to bring correction to them. But see, they didn't have to go through this. And so this is a word for us today, Pastor Donna. If we only obey God's word and everything that he tells us to, it's right here in this book, how to walk a holy life. That's what the Torah is all about, to teach instruction of God. If we do that and obey it, we'll stand before God one day and won't be ashamed. And so he's telling us today what? To obey his word. And we talked about these false teachings in the church today. A lot of these things going on. We have to obey what the word says, not what man thinks or what they perceive or twist the word. And so if we walk in that place, the blessings of God, he said, we will be the head and not the tail. The blessings of God will run us down. So we have to believe that. But we have to be obedient. We have to do the things that he says to do. And we got so many, like couples, are so unequally yoked. They marry someone that's not a believer. The Bible tells us so clear, don't marry anyone. If you're a believer, don't marry someone that's not a believer. Do things the way God says to do it. And if we'll do that, what's going to happen? By his word, he has to bless us. Aren't you glad?
If we're led by the Spirit, we'll obey the word of God. You know, Matthew 6:33, I always like that verse. It says, we seek first
the kingdom of God
and his righteousness.
Doing it his way.
Doing things his way. So it's his way, and then all these other blessings will come to us. You know, we'll receive these blessings from the Lord. But it says seek first. First means number one.
First
he
of all.
He is uno, number one.
He's got to be first.
And
that's
so
right.
God has to be first in our life. And his righteousness, to do things the right way.
Amen.
Well, we know that many people fail down through time. But we have the Spirit of God. And you have born again when you ask Jesus to come into your heart. And you receive the Lord, and you have the Spirit of God. You
sure
have
do.
The Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And you have the Holy Ghost, and
mm-hmm.
And when we have the Holy Ghost, we will just allow the Holy Ghost to, if we would yield to that,
amen.
And die to our fleshly desires, you know, then we would be led by the Spirit of God, and we wouldn't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That's right.
Amen.
Desires of it, no matter what it is.
If we have a right heart. But see, many of the Jewish people and other people down through time, they've had a hard heart, stiff-necked heart.
That's right.
God called them stiff-necked. But God doesn't want us to be stiff-necked. He wants us to have a heart that is hungry for him.
That's exactly true.
A heart that's hungry for him and hungry for his word, you know. And his word is what's going to change us.
That's right.
And seeking him, seeking God, seeking him in everything. Even this one scripture here, Pastor Gene,
mm-hmm.
there's so much revelation in it. If people would just look at the scriptures. And one scripture, I'm thinking about Hosea
mm-hmm.
chapter 13. It says, yet I am the Lord thy God.
What verse are you in there now?
Verse 4.
Okay.
In chapter 13
okay.
of Hosea.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
He says, yet I, the Lord God, the Lord thy God, from the land of Egypt. Now that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But if we think about the prophecies and what it says in the New Testament, he went to Egypt, didn't he? He was called out of Egypt, Yeshua
right.
was.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt know.
And the Jews were called out of Egypt, weren't they?
No God but me, yes, for there is no Savior but beside me. And I wrote the word Yah there. Yah, Y-A-H, you know,
that's
the two
right.
J in the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And Yah, Yahweh and Yahshua, they're one.
That's right.
God, Jesus is God. They're one. And so people say, well, you know, the Lord, God himself, he never lived in Egypt. But yes, he did.
He did.
The Lord Jesus Christ did live in Egypt.
Yep.
He went there for protection.
When they were killing all the babies.
For a time when they
that's
were
right.
killing all the babies.
Yep.
And then he came out of there. Back to his own land. So here, this is a prophetic word about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You Absolutely. Know, because God himself, but God did live in Egypt, didn't he?
Because sure did.
Jesus is God.
Amen.
Amen. But so many people don't understand that terminology right there and see the double
the
meaning
it,
there.
That's right.
And the depth of it, you know.
That's right.
The Lord God, he is our Savior, Yeshua. He, it's just so... It just jumps off the page at me, you know. But a lot of people, we need to seek the Lord and ask him, well, what are you saying here, Lord?
Yeah.
You're saying you're God and you lived in Egypt? Oh, I thought you lived in heaven. No, but Jesus lived in Egypt for a short time, and he is our Savior.
That's right,
there's
sure
no
is.
Other Savior but
mm-hmm.
the Lord Jesus Christ.
And, you
no
know,
man
think, you
can
think
come
about,
to God.
I,
no man can come
that's
to God.
Right. You know, I have people tell me this all the time from time to time in my 31 years that, well, Pastor Gene, what you're talking about, this is in the old covenant. It's old. It's done away with. It's not done away with, okay? It's We have a renewed testament. This was the first testament. This was the first covenant that God made. And so we need all the word of God.
It's prophecy, what we're speaking about.
Prophecy being fulfilled.
The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This is prophecy right here in Hosea
when you
about
look through
Jesus.
When you look through our prophetic glasses,
don't
we?
We need to look through our prophetic glasses, our Jewish eyes, have Jewish eyes to see and, you know, ask the Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost reveals these things. He's our teacher. It says that in the New Testament. It says he's our teacher. The Holy Ghost is our teacher. So the Holy Ghost is so important. And, you know, all these other Bibles take out the word Holy Ghost. They don't. They just say Spirit or Spirit of God or Holy Spirit, which is fine.
Yep.
In some places it should be that way. But why take out the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost is our teacher? And he's
That's
the
right.
one who reveals things to us. He's the one who brings the Logos word, these letters, these words on the page to life.
That's right.
Brings them to life. Because what? They're living words.
Mm.
And so they're not just words of in an old book. Somebody say, well, this is just an old book. Those are old things. That's for the past. No, they're living words for now. They're living words for now. Living words don't die.
That's right.
Living words live on from generation to generation. They don't pass away.
That's right.
They don't die. And so here, we're to worship God for the testimony
Amen.
Of Jesus. This the scripture right here is the testimony of Jesus.
Sure is.
Amen.
That one verse right there.
That one verse is the testimony of Jesus. You could just meditate on that verse.
For days.
For days.
Right.
That's right.
This caught me eye while we were looking at that in verse 4. Verse 7 says, God says, therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way, and I will observe them. I will meet them as a bear. And I will devour them with a lion. This reminds me of the symbols of the animals that were shown to Daniel in the book of Daniel of the last days.
That's right.
The leopard, and the bear. They're all there. It's all prophetic. Well, anyway, we're running out of time. I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey. We come at the end of the program. We love you both for keeping you in prayer. We're glad that you got that CD. We mailed you and all that. And so thank you for what you're doing over there. We pray for you, and we know that you pray for us. And so we just lift you up, and we hope you enjoyed hearing us again on the radio today. So
Amen.
We love you very much. So we're running out of time. So Pastor Donna,
well,
you might want to mention a few things and we're going to close.
I just want to mention that we have services here in Stuart, Florida.
Hallelujah.
On every Sunday at 10 a.m. And we also have Friday services and Bible school on Saturday. So give us a call. We can send you a calendar and you can know more about the church, or you might want to know what's going on at Spirit of Prophecy. We're right here in Stuart, Florida, right on Cantor Highway. We're
yes,
easy
Lord.
To find. And we also want you to make a note that next month in March of the 15th, we will have our Purim program.
Ooh, it's
and
always good.
And we need to have reservations for that. So if you are interested in that, give us a call. We'll be glad to send you a flyer about that. And
Esther
if you
and Mordecai.
Want to, Esther and Mordecai, and there'll be music and dancing and feasting. It's a time of feasting and joy and celebration, and because the enemy lost. Amen.
It sure did.
Praise God. And God used his people, the Maccabees, to do a great, mighty, mighty work.
That's right. They did do a great work.
Great
didn't
work.
They?
Great
That's
work.
Right.
So not the Maccabees. I'm getting them mixed up with the Hanukkah.
That's right.
Anyways, he used the Jewish people in
because I mentioned Hanukkah a while
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, right. He used the Jewish people to have victory. They had victory over
two people walked two together
people.
In
Esther,
agreement.
Esther, that's right.
They accomplished
Esther.
What God needed.
Praise
that's right.
God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So give us a call. You can also go back to the internet, WCNO, and you can listen to this broadcast again, or you can listen to others that are on that Raising the Standard on Saturdays. And so you can just check that out. And our number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Hallelujah. So look up, as we tell you, because your redemption draws
Amen.
Nigh. And I want to mention again, Roscoe and Audrey, we love you. Continue your great work as we pray for you.
Amen.
And so as we close this program every week, we tell you again to what? To look up. Because, yes, your redemption draweth nigh. Every day it gets closer. So
every day.
Thank you for it. So what do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.
Hello, friends. This is Tom Creighton. You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO. The tower crew is out at the tower right now. They're going to be working on the tower lights over the next few hours. And so we're going to be turning the tower off, turning the transmitter off at the tower right now, and we'll be back on as soon as the work is completed. So again, we'll be off the air for a few hours here this afternoon, and hopefully we'll be back on the air sometime before 6 p.m. this evening. This is WCNO, the Good News Station. WCNO, Palm City.